Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, I wanted to talk today, guys. You know, we have some history and getting men together and long history in God. And then, you know, earlier this week, we talked about the tragedy of Jovan Belcher, linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, who not only murdered his girlfriend of you know, they both have a 3-month-old child, but then later wind up committing suicide himself. So this is important. This, you know, we our hearts go out to the Belcher family. Our hearts go out to this young lady, Cassandra's, you know, her family. And just now we have a 3-month-old child that's not only motherless, but the child is fatherless. Yeah. And, you know, it's just a tragedy. But this tragedy has so stirred the nation, and people are talking everything from gun control to manhood. Mm-hmm. You know, Kevin Powell did a segment on CNN and he starts questioning and starts talking and just starts, I guess, a conversation about manhood and the ability to communicate feelings. And I think that something that they're saying, and they're still finding out information about what actually happened with Jovan, mm-hmm. and why this thing, you know, why would a 25-year-old football player who's, you know, playing for the NFL would mm-hmm. do such a thing. And
which just goes to show you, I mean, fame, success, you know, money doesn't mean squat, doesn't mean anything.
I mean,
if you're miserable and you don't know God.
Absolutely. We're seeing this every day. We're seeing this every day mm-hmm. on our television screens, that money, fame does not mean anything in the end. Mm-mm. Not anything. Let me tell you something. You never see a U-Haul behind a hearse.
No.
You can't take this stuff with you. Mm-mm. At the end of the day, your fame and your money and your status and your toys are not going to do anything for you when you stand before God on Judgment Day.
That's right.
And we can't live for this life, but we need to live with eternity stamped in our minds. What Leonard Ravenhill says, I love that. We've got to live with eternity stamped on our foreheads. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about manhood. I mean, we're talking about this conversation got started, and they feel that maybe he had all this stuff going on, but he was not able to communicate mm-hmm. and be able to share this with anyone. Not another man. And to think that there's so many people today, so many men, that are going through so many troubling times, and they don't have anyone that they can turn to.
Right.
That they're all alone. And you think about it, that even from young boys, you know, you look at society and we look at, you know, what's been happening over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes boys are told that, hey, you know, don't share your feelings.
Yeah.
You know, girls
don't
share their
cry.
Feelings.
Don't cry. Don't be a baby. Yeah.
Yeah, don't be a baby. Don't show your emotions. Mm-hmm. And so they bottle them up until something happens.
Right.
You know, until something snaps, until something breaks.
Right.
And so let's talk about it. Let's have this conversation. Let's have this conversation on manhood. I mean, we have a problem. I mean, with 30+ million children today living in fatherless homes. I mean, we have ourselves have spent a good portion of our lives, 10+ years,
mm-hmm.
defending the cause of the fatherless. Mm-hmm. Grateful for Greg and his leadership over the years and mm-hmm. what he has done to be able to stand for fathers and for men. It's been humongous. It's been huge.
Yeah.
And many men today are grateful for it. All of us included.
Yeah. Yes.
Grateful.
And our sons.
Yes. And those that know us and connected to us. I mean, mm-hmm. the difference that one man can make, you know.
Right. Sons and daughters.
Absolutely. And so, but we're talking about the problem of fatherlessness. You have mm-hmm. 30 million children living in fatherless homes. The question is, you know, who's raising our boys
mm-hmm.
and daughters?
Right.
You know, who's teaching them? And you look at pop culture today and how much of pop culture is influencing the minds of young people. How much of the culture today is influencing what is considered cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, they take a word like pimp. They take a word like pimp. And now today the word pimp in today's culture amongst young people means something good. And if you ask someone 50 or 60 years old what that word means to you, they'd tell you, my God, it's a horrible thing. Someone would, it's someone who controls a woman and sell her body? That's horrible. But today, you, that would be a cool saying, just the twisting of what's right. And now you have movies. You've got commercials. In fact, me and Eddie were talking about this just the other day when I interviewed him, that there's a commercial in the Northeast for a local cable company, and I'm walking by and I go, what in the world is that? And, you know, the kids are watching the television program, and I guess they were drawings, and they look up and says, oh, Dad, that's a commercial. So this commercial says there's two young people making out in a restaurant. I mean, this is just like, it's just hot. I mean, this is like intense. You're like, what the heck is this? And they show a man sitting down in the restaurant. It looked like a little Subway or something like that. And he looks at them this is horrible.
Right.
And the internet company was trying to promote. So the guy opens up his laptop and just starts looking at some YouTube video or just something nonsensical as a way to distract himself from what he's seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you know, get the internet, get wireless internet so you cannot be distracted by what you see when you're, you know, in a public place. I mean, come on.
Are you serious?
Not the man, you know, displaying him in a teaching moment where he'd go to this young man and say, son, do you think that you need to be doing this out here in the public? Is it a young lady, do you think that your parents would consider this a good thing for you to be doing? Displaying, you know, not showing the right thing.
Turning a blind eye.
Yeah, showing a man being totally disinterested. So we got fatherless boys, fatherless children, and it's not just fathers that are not in the home. I mean, the average father today, according to statistics, spend about 35 seconds a day in meaningful, real conversation with their children. Meanwhile, these same children are watching 5 to 6 hours of television a day.
Right.
They're playing on their video games, which back in the day when we played on video games, it was just like you and the video game and maybe a friend that came over. Today, these video games, parents, if you don't know, they have headsets that you can communicate with someone far across the country, far across the world, and play this game virtually. And you should hear some of the conversation that these young kids are hearing from grown men that are playing these games. Over, you know, they're all connected and they're hearing, you know, in these shooting games, you're hearing themselves communicate and they're working as teams. And it's just like, oh my goodness, does your 10-year-old child, 15-year-old child need to be communicating with other people that are just talking just things that are not good?
Wow.
So, you know, we have a problem. And let me tell you something. What do we do about this? I mean, we talked about communication. And we talked about, is it okay for a man to express that he's actually hurt?
All right.
I mean, think about it. Today, in today's society, if a man actually cried in public, there's a strong feeling that that is a sign of weakness. And the truth is that is it really? Is it really? We need to provide environments and teaching moments where we can begin to teach our boys and begin to teach men. And this is where the role of the church comes in. I mean, are we discipling? Are we getting men together? Are we getting, you know, teaching them, raising them, following the ways of the Lord?
Right.
And, it's so important, you know, the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 13:11 that when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child.
Right.
But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. But the question is, when did you become a man?
Yeah. Right.
when did you become a man? I mean, you're male, yes, but when did you transition from male to manhood? And how do you know that you became a man?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask the average man on the street corner today, when did you become a man? When did you know you became a man? What do you think you'll hear?
Sure, a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, they say when I got my first job.
Mm-hmm.
I came in. My father told me that when I got a paycheck, I was a man. Maybe right. My first check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe their first sexual encounter.
Right.
You know, the first fight. Maybe when they became married.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when they had their first child, they said, "I'm a man. Mm-hmm. I produced an offspring."
Right. Mm-hmm. My first cigarette or first drink.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. It is like, really, is that manhood? Is that what we've defined manhood to be? Mm-hmm. Is this what we've allowed society? And we punch the guy in the arm. He got his first tattoo. He's a man.
Right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? And so we got to begin to talk about this. It's not the young man's fault. It's not the person that is being attacked. I mean, we really got to begin to have this conversation where we can begin to have an open dialogue.
Right.
Isn't that right?
That's right. Absolutely.
And so let's begin to have that dialogue. And as we're doing now, but let's talk about what's even happening, you know, how the church can rise up. I know that ourselves, I mean, we've worked for years with men and getting men together, mm-hmm. in small men's groups and discipling and just providing an opportunity where men that are coming to God can be real and transparent. I mean, hasn't that been amazing?
Oh, yeah. It's very amazing. It's a great experience.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember the first time I went to a Promise Keepers event. The first time. I mean, I know that we have been to several events. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Chris and I, we were in Tropicana Bowl, I guess they call that, down where, somewhere in Tampa, one of those stadiums.
Yeah.
I know that you were in New Orleans,
right.
With Greg, and I actually happened to be in New Orleans in that same stadium, and we didn't even know each other.
Right, right. Yeah, I remember that.
We went to Birmingham together,
mm-hmm.
that big one, mm-hmm. and we also went to D.C., Washington, D.C., with 1 million Christian men.
That was
1
huge.
Million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We gathered together to repent before God on behalf of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something amazing. I mean, I, you know, we're believing for stadiums. I am longing for the day that my own sons are able to see other men locked hand in hand, you know, arm to arm, mano to mano, if you will,
mm-hmm.
in worshiping God.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I saw, and well, I actually went to Atlanta too. One of the things that I saw in Atlanta, you have one half of the stadium of men. It's just all men now, uh-huh. men.
Mm-hmm.
This one half of the stadium, and then they have the other half, I guess where the Falcons play, I guess.
Georgia Dome. Mm-hmm.
And the other half, and there's one side stands up and challenges the other side. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the roar in that stadium, you can hear things rattle.
Mm.
And to see men worship, and what society fails to recognize is that men are very passionate. They're not just passionate when you put a helmet on them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you hear them grunt or whatever. They're not just passionate about a sport.
Right.
But when a man finds God, he's passionate about a whole lot of things. He's passionate about God.
Mm-hmm.
He's passionate about his family. He's passionate about his children.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about how we're going to have healthy men. We're going to have healthy boys.
That's right.
You know? And a lot of us, not all of us, we're products of our environment.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, it was hard for our parents if they didn't have a father in their life. You can only give what you have.
All right.
I'm doing the best I have with what I have been given.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the worst things that the enemy could do is just get us into a blame game where maybe we're blaming our parents or blaming our fathers or blaming,
right.
you know, we were raised,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can't get into the blame game.
That's right.
Just because they had or didn't have
That's right.
a dad or mom too.
That's right. We're all dealt a different hand. You know, they were, you know, they had problems. You know, our problems are not necessarily, they're not our fault.
Right.
You know, and we're not their fault.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're responsible for our own actions and what we do.
Yeah.
And how we handle it. You know, so that's what happened with me. I mean, I had to learn what I didn't learn growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God had to teach me how to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through the awesome, you know, relationships that I got over the years, you know, with other men.
Right.
You know, it was I had to be taught. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally relate. I was the same way. Didn't know what it was like to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know I was raised by my mother. You know, and but you know, just like you, it was, you know, came through the same way. It was through other godly men speaking into my life, you know, telling me and teaching me right from wrong, and God teaching me through the wisdom of the Word what it was like to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the most beautiful things that we did when we took all of these fatherless boys in the community from all ages, I mean, mm-hmm. from young boys to teenage and college age young men and also natural fathers and sons, that one of the things that we did that was so powerful is that we formed the tunnel and we called it the tunnel of affirmation. You had men on each side of this tunnel in a huge tent in the wilderness, no distraction, no girls, no ladies, no cell phones, no nothing.
No
just
video
men.
Games. Yep.
No video games. And God met us in that tent year
sure
after year after year. This is a huge, I mean, huge, I mean, you would know the dimensions. It was this huge tent.
Oh,
I mean,
tent? It was like 8,000 square feet. It was huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. We fed up to 1,000 fathers and sons under this tent.
Sure did.
With a stage and everything else and chairs. I mean, it's just like huge. And so you had this just huge line, a gauntlet, if you will, where every boy was able to go through this tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And we called it the tunnel of affirmation, but it later became... The boys started calling it the tunnel of love. And each boy would go down through this tunnel, and as men were affirming them and the fathers of the community were blessing them, they were saying affirmation. The tunnel of love and the tunnel of tears.
Tunnel of tears. Right.
Because as each man was just affirming these young boys, they were telling them, hey, you're going to be... You know, the next doctor in this community, you can make it, and God has a plan for your life. And you know what? There's more for you in God. And they just were receiving these, and I'm so proud of these men. They were looking at these young boys in the eyes. They were pausing to grab them by the shoulders and to speak a word of life. The Bible says that the power of life is in the tongue, and they were just speaking life eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, these boys... that were just finished around playing sports and running around knocking each other down and all these crazy things hours
ago.
Right. All of a sudden started breaking down.
Right.
And they were just being so just overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Right. They've never experienced that kind of love. Nobody's ever said anything positive about them.
You know, right.
They could be successful. You know, they could be or do anything they wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, that they are important. They are significant. They are loved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're loved.
Yeah,
it was so powerful that men were trying to go through the tunnel, and when the other boys came out, they did.
Eventually, the line just collapsed on itself. You know, where men and boys, and it was just powerful, powerful.
Amazing, wasn't it?
Oh yeah,
God, amazing.
God was just swirling in that tent.
Yeah, I mean we heard just wails.
Mm-hmm.
Wails come out
of
sons and fathers that they didn't get a chance to affirm.
Right.
You know, didn't get a chance to hear those words, that they didn't get the father's blessing. You know, and it's just time. It's time for us to raise the next generation of men. It's time for us to communicate and to share that it's okay to express emotion and to talk about. And this is one of the things about getting men together in small groups. And we talked about the transformation, exponential transformation, getting abiding groups together, men together. But when you get men together and there's an environment where they can develop friendship and eventually brotherhood, a place where they can feel safe. Men can begin to communicate. And when you have communication, there's a level of intimacy that occurs. You know, if you break the word intimacy down, you get into me see. And they begin to see into each other, begin to share that, you know what, we're all kind of alike. We've all have kind of the same different backgrounds, if you will. And what's the answer? Man, the answer is God. The answer is God. You know, think about it. You know, you teach a young boy not to share his emotions, not to share his feelings. So he has all this frustration bottled up. And what happens is that, you know, when someone gets angry, the first emotion, first emotion was actually hurt. They're actually hurt.
Right.
But it went from hurt to anger, and they exploded. But you didn't see that something happened.
Right.
You're just seeing the rage, the raw anger going everywhere, but you didn't see initially that this man, this boy, was hurt. Speak to his feelings.
Right.
Help him to communicate what happened, because no one's taught him.
Right. Remember Pastor Willie Grayson?
Yeah.
Reverend G?
Yeah.
Well, Greg got a chance to talk to him recently, and he told him this testimony, which I thought was pretty cool. He says he said he was at an event a couple weeks ago, and this guy got up to speak. And during his testimony, he started talking about how for a long time he had no relationship with his dad, even though his dad was in his life. And then he said, all that changed in one night at a camping trip for fathers. And
so, wow.
And he says, thanks for obeying God. Your reward is at hand. May the Lord be with you, brother.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's beautiful? Amazing. Let me tell you, these testimonies of what occurred out there, I mean, we're still hearing them 10 years later.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember we ran into a couple of boys not too long ago, which they're men now,
right.
At this event, you know, and they're all grown up now, and they're just like these awesome young men, you know.
Right.
Remember when Derek. Remember Derek was here not too long ago, man.
Yeah, Derek Rice was in the studio.
Yeah, he's in the studio. It was beautiful.
Remember that they, Derek Rice and I wish we had that available, but I know we have it somewhere. But we're Derek and Reverend G wrote that rap song "Stand By Me."
Yeah, I love that.
That was an amazing. I mean, amazing song. Stand by me, telling, you know, encouraging Father, stand by me. Stand by me.
Yeah, it's good.
And so we can begin to have this conversation. Listen, you have sons. You know, if you don't have a son, you have a daughter. Your daughter one day is going to marry a boy, man. This is an important conversation to have. So, you're just focusing on a man. Well, yeah, hello. I mean, we can do that. It's important. Mm-hmm. Let's begin to have this conversation. Let's begin to talk about raising healthy sons so that we can have healthy men.
Mm-hmm.
And let's let the church continue to arise in this area and lead in this area.
Right.
And start encouraging men to get together to have abiding relationships. I mean, look at the years of we've spent in groups with other men.
Mm-hmm.
That we, you know, got our Bible, our journals, came together in a diner, you know, someone's home, and just let it rip. Just start talking, you know, just start talking about life and talking about our real situations and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Most men don't have another man there for them. And you look at Jovan Belcher, who was there for him, you know, and he thanked his coaches and but really there to be able to communicate and to share.
Right.
You know, oftentimes when someone passes away, think about this. You live 80, 90 years, and there's no one outside of family that can be a pallbearer at your funeral?
Exactly.
Nobody?
Right. Who would carry my casket?
Right.
You know?
Good question. Outside of your family, is there six?
Yeah.
Is there five? Is there four?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, you can't look at it from a situation of, you know, okay, well, then I need men in my life. Well, guess what? You need to be a man in someone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come in, don't think about this as well in a situation just to, you know, get for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I like what Mike Bickle says. Listen, if you're a certain age and you haven't got a spiritual father by now, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's just time for you to be one.
That's right.
It's just time for you to go ahead and be one and walk this thing out and raise other men, if you will,
mm-hmm.
in God. And the question is that if the church doesn't do it, we know who is going to do it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Who has been doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Who had, the world has been doing it.
Right.
And so our young boys have that as a frame of reference. Listen, you need to go to the torch. We have resources for you. You're not alone. Maybe someone has shared this highlight with you. Maybe you're listening to it today and you're saying, man, I need another man in my life. I didn't get this wisdom. The wisdom I got were from friends, and they're in the same boat I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like, you know, going down the wrong end of the river in the same boat with someone else that doesn't have a paddle. I mean, mm-hmm. been there, done that. When you're in trouble, and this is how you know if you got someone in your life.
Yeah.
When you're in trouble and things are going down, whose counsel do you seek? Who is speaking into you? And if you find there's nobody there, I mean, this is the time. This is the time. We have resources for you. Mm-hmm. You want to go to the torch. I want to encourage you to search this highlight, Exponential Transformation, How to Transform America. We can transform America one man at a time. And this highlight is just about being able to being connected in a small abiding groups and being able to share one-on-one with each other. You know, right. Romans 12:1-2 says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, mm-hmm. right?
That's right?
But we're going to renew our mind on God's word. And we're also going to be able to have an opportunity to share one another true life experiences in God. We're talking about manhood today. Let's raise healthy men.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in